Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to come together to worship you. Thank you for the way that you have brought us to where we are today, for bringing people home to you who had not known you, for taking care of things that needed to be taken care of in our body. Lord, we know you're still working. We thank you for all that you're doing. And Lord, as we open up your word today, I just pray that your words will be the only words spoken. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you a strange question for church, but it's really all right, I promise. Anyone in here like guns?
Like what?
It's such a strange thing. Nobody even. My family, most of the people in my family like guns. They like to shoot. They like to have different kinds. Me personally, I recognize the utility of them. I think that they're good for self defense. But I don't really enjoy being around them. They are just tools, though. They're dangerous tools. They're dangerous tools, and we ought to treat them that way. But there is another dangerous tool that we all have, and we learn to use. Learn to use them even as young children. Now, I don't like to be overly dramatic. We live in a culture that just exaggerates everything and draws these ridiculous analogies that don't have any basis in reality. I don't want to get into that. The fact of the matter is, we live in a violent world. Things are happening all around us that are atrocious and terrible. And I don't want to play on that to try to make just to try to make a point. Yet, I think there is a point to be made. The fact of the matter is, the things that we say do have power. They do have power to hurt. They do have power to do damage. Even in the court system, emotional abuse is recognized as a fact of something that can really happen. And just like those bullets that you shoot out of a gun, when you shoot words out of your mouth, you can never take them back.
Amen.
Eventually, time may heal the wounds that you cause, but the scars are always going to be there.
Yep.
Can't get it back. And we are so careless. Some are more than others. But I know some people, it doesn't even seem like they bother to check that the words mean what they use them for when they just scattershot. Not even any concern with whether the actual dictionary definition of the word means what they say it means. You know, if somebody walked in here with a gun and started randomly firing, well, first of all, I hope there'd be somebody who could stand up on the other side and defend this, but we don't take maybe rots would be a better analogy because you know, you can wound, but you have to make some effort to kill them. But we use words sometimes like children use that toy. They've got a little toy. They're shooting everywhere, you know, because they think it's just a toy. It's just play. But words are not just play. Words have power. Words have meaning. And we really need to be careful. Because we don't understand the power that lives within the things that we say. Our text today is going to be in the book of James, chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. And we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth, and they obey us, and we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our lives, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and of birds, and of reptiles, creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and curses. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The context that James starts this out in is important. He starts out by saying, not everybody needs to become teachers. Now, all of these words apply to all of us, but I never like to take anything out of context. So let's take a minute and examine that. Because it's not just a matter of being a teacher in the traditional sense, or a pastor in the traditional sense. It's any time that we take for ourselves authority and decide that we're going to instruct someone else. When we take for ourselves that greater influence, we have a greater responsibility. When we set out to tell people what the Lord is saying or what the Word means, we need to check our motivations. Where is it coming from? Is it something that God gave you, or is it something that's coming out of your own head? Because there's going to be a judgment, there's going to be a responsibility that's greater on those who are instructing others. And it's something that, yes, some of us are called to do, but even more so at that point, we need to be aware of what we're saying, what we're teaching, what we're sharing with others. Because our influence is greater, therefore our responsibility is greater. James then goes on to say that it's a mark of perfection if you're able to control your tongue. You know what that tells me? It tells me Jesus was probably the only one that ever really did.
Amen.
Doesn't mean we shouldn't keep trying. But he's saying here that if you're able to do that, you're able to control everything. Control freaks take note. You want to control everything? Start with your own tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Directs the course of your life. And I love the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about how the things we say direct our lives. And I just lined up three or four of them here to illustrate how often these things are repeated. Proverbs 13:3 says, "The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." In the next chapter over, 14:3, it says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. The lips of the wise will protect them." And then on over in chapter 18, verses 20 and 21, it says, "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." James then goes on to use the analogy of fire. He says that the tongue is a fire. You know, fire is an interesting thing. Controlled fire is very good. We wouldn't have a civilization without fire. If we weren't able to take advantage of the warmth and the light and take advantage of the power, the energy that is harnessed by combustion, society's civilization would never have grown past maybe some equatorial regions where it's tolerable enough that you might survive. Fire is also used for purification. It's equated with the Holy Spirit. Controlled fire is a good thing. Not that the Holy Spirit is ever controlled. But controlled fire is a good thing. Uncontrolled fire is not a good thing. We've seen the pictures on TV in California, Colorado last year, even just south of us here, was it Eagle Mountain? No, it was Possum Kingdom Lake, where the fire was out of control. And I remember one time in my backyard, when I was just a kid, we were going to plant a garden, and we were burning off some vegetation to plant this garden. And I was standing out there with my dad, and the fire all of a sudden jumped and went all the way around us. And I don't remember now. I don't know if Dad just stamped it out or what happened, but I remember that was scary. When that fire got all over, completely surrounded us. Fire is hard to control. It can spread quickly. And you can't unburn something. You can't turn back the fire and put it back. It's hard to put out. And so it is with the things that come out of our mouths. You know that gossip is hard to put out because we want to hear it. Let's just be honest, we want to hear it. It's intriguing. What happened? What did he do? Got all these shows, and I don't particularly care for them, but got all these shows about these entertainment figures because they're up on the pedestal and everybody wants to see them fall. Arguments get out of control. Somebody fires something at you. You've got to defend yourself. You've got to come back. And it just escalates and escalates, and before you know it, what started out as something minor has become a major conflagration. We let it get out of control. And the fire burns us, too. And Satan is an arsonist. How many of us just burn to say something good? Usually when we get something we think we just got to say, is it a good thing? How many times have we said something and then wondered, why in the world did I say that? I did not need to say that. I am so sorry that I said that. Where in the world did it come from? Now don't get me wrong. The devil didn't make you do it. But you know what he did? Probably whisper in your ear. And you know what? You listened. He wants to destroy us. And he'll use our own words to do it. He wants to destroy you, and he wants to destroy those that you care about. And what he does is he appeals to our flesh, and he appeals to false wisdom. You know, if you look at the rest of that chapter, he then goes in to talk about that. And then on through chapter 4, he talks about things that get us off track. And I think that all kind of goes together, although we don't have time to go into that today. But in this chapter, he goes on to talk about what I would call the forked thumb. Just like a serpent, we spew out poison, and on the one hand we're saying good things, on the other hand we're saying bad things. And whether it's about relationships, whether it's about emotional well-being, we hurt each other and we hurt ourselves. The poison's usually slow, but it can be deadly. Can absolutely destroy the spirit of someone else and cause them to be unfruitful and unproductive. And even in some cases, we read every once in a while that bullying has become such a big thing. And, you know, I kind of laugh at that sometimes, thinking, well, I was bullied as a kid. Everybody's bullied as a kid. You learn to deal with it. You stand up to it. But it is a little bit different now because you cannot get away from it. With the social media and so forth, it follows you everywhere. There's no safe place. And the kids tear each other down with the words. We're made in God's image. And we shouldn't be tearing down God's image. There's a disconnect. That's what James is saying here. There's a disconnect. How can we, on the one hand, praise our Creator God, praise our Father, and then curse the image that He has made? Now, something about cursing. We think about cursing, we think something very specific. We think of maybe using bad words, using imprecations towards somebody, calling them bad names. But it's more than that. It's when you say hurtful things. When you say things to a child like you're never going to amount to anything, or what's wrong with you, or when you say that kind of thing to your spouse and cut them down, that's the same kind of thing. That's the cursing. It goes to it has an effect. And how dare we speak that way about God's creation? He then goes on to talk about the sweet and the bitter water. You know, bitterness ruins the whole thing. You can't have just a little. Whenever you contaminate water, it's contaminated. You can't uncontaminate it again. Well, you can if you put it through the right processes, but left alone, it's no good. The whole thing is ruined. The fresh becomes contaminated with the bitter, with the poison. You might remember just last month, there was a story. Was that last month or was it last year? I'm thinking now, I'm not sure about the date, but it's fresh in my mind. It was at a Dairy Queen in Denver, Colorado. It was a little boy got a milkshake, a 7-year-old boy got a milkshake, and was poisoned by the milkshake because a worker had taken a bottle that had just been cleaned and had residue of cleaning solution and put the ice cream back in that bottle without washing it out good and made this little boy sick and have to go to the hospital. You can't. Just a little bit of poison ruined the whole thing. Spoken about how the rest of the chapter goes and talks about that, how our motivations are so important, how the rest of James deals with that. But now I want to go, you know, if you have a concealed carry permit, you have to go through a gun safety class. Because we recognize that it's a dangerous weapon and you can hurt somebody with it. So you need to know how to be safe with it. So now I want to give you a little tongue safety class. And let's start with that warning that he gave to teachers. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 9 says, like a thorn that falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. What's he saying there? Well, when somebody is drunk, their judgment is impaired, right? And if they've got something that they can hurt somebody with, chances are they're going to hurt somebody with it, right? The fact of the matter is, even the truth can be misused. When we handle it improperly, we can end up using even good things to hurt people. And so I think that's why he says that this way. A proverb misused can actually do harm. So those of us who want to teach need to be careful how we use the truth and make sure that we're still true to what it says. And any of us who take upon ourselves to teach someone else need to be aware of this. It's not just a ministerial thing. It's not just something that I need to be concerned about, or pastor, or the Sunday school teachers. All of us need to be concerned with it. Amen. When you use words without discretion, your gun is loaded. Watch where you aim. Pray. Read the Bible. Study and contemplate. And ask the Lord to give you the wisdom. Gossip and slander violates biblical principles. I think we've talked about Matthew 18 in here, how we're supposed to take the problems that we have to the individual and deal with that first, and then only escalate it if we have to. Because what will happen is, you may find out, first of all, you may come out to be a liar. It may be that what you heard or what you thought you heard wasn't even the truth. And besides that, saying something about somebody else behind their back, even if you know it to be true, it's like shooting somebody in the back. It's a cowardly thing to do. Don't do it. Deal with the problem directly. And take especial care in relationships. Some of the most painful damage that's done to people is done in relationships. With people that are supposed to love you, with people that are supposed to be caring for you and looking out for you. Instead, we hurt each other. And we react and we fire back, and it just gets worse and worse. You know, one can argue that if somebody is shooting at you with a real firearm, it might be a good idea if you have one to shoot back. But you know what? That's often not a good idea in a war of words. Sometimes it's better to wait. I want to give you today some of the best advice that I could ever give you. If you don't remember anything else today, I want you to remember this. Because it's gotten me out of more trouble than anything else I could tell you. Shut up!
I like that.
Proverbs 21:23 says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. We would stay out of so much trouble if we just shut up. Give the Lord time to work it out. Some things that we need to think about. Your words have power. Your words have power to set the course of your own life. They have the power to affect those around you. both for good and for bad. Your words also reveal your character. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. He says, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks that which fills his heart." Think about what you say every day. If most of what's coming out of your mouth is not good, then it's time to examine your heart. Because Jesus says something else. It's part of the same conversation, but I want to flip over to Matthew to pick it up. He says this. He says, "But I tell you that every careless word which people speak, they will give an account for in the day of judgment." I don't know about you, but that is a very sobering statement to me. Because, you know, I'm up here talking, but I also know that I've spoken a lot of careless words in my life. I'm just thankful for God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness. I'm thankful that I can come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Why this message? Because careless words hurt. Because families are broken. Because unity in the body of Christ can be destroyed. And I want to share with you a personal story that kind of brings this home. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because it wouldn't be appropriate. But most of y'all know that at the beginning of last year, Linda and I both went through a rough spot as far as our physical health. Linda had a serious MS relapse and had to completely change the way she does things, had to get the car with the hand controls and so forth. But what most people don't know is that the very night that happened, the very night that she went to the hospital, we had probably the worst fight we'd ever had in our marriage. And we don't fight normally. And I can honestly say that. Are there times that we have disagreements? Are there times that things get a little tense? Yeah. Thankfully, not very often, but it happens. But we generally do not try to hurt each other. If we hurt each other, it's unintentional. But that night wasn't like that. We were both responding to a number of factors, and I think Linda was afraid because of what was happening to her, and I was experiencing stuff, and we both said things that ought not to have been said. And you know what? I don't know for either one of us that we'll ever be able to forget those words. We can forgive, but they don't go away. And for Linda, one of the things about it, when you're under stress, it makes it worse. And us having that fight that night might have been the reason why it got as bad as it did for her. My words had a very physical effect. Words really can hurt people. Please, please be careful how you use your words.
Amen.
The Bible gives it importance. Read the Proverbs. There's so much wisdom in there. It's become part of my daily reading to just read. There's one for every day of the month. I know you probably heard that. But if you need any more confirmation that your words are important, how is it that we come to Jesus? I didn't put this on the screen or in the notes because I didn't think about putting it in until the last minute. We all know this verse. We were all probably, most of us, led to salvation with it. Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Don't tell me your words are not important. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you have done. I thank you that you do bring healing. I thank you that we can come to you, that we can ask for your forgiveness, that we can confess that you are Lord. And just like that, you take all that away. I pray that if there's anyone here hasn't made that decision, that this be the day. But I pray also that all of us from this day forward will be extra careful with the things that we say and realize that the same way that we can do damage with our words, the same way that we can hurt each other with our words, we can also heal each other with our words. We can also bring peace and love and healing with our words. May that be what comes out of our mouth from this day forward, both inside of our church, inside of our families, and among the people that we meet in the world as we go about our day, so that people will see what is in us and find something different, find something that draws them to you, because that's why we're here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.